in one sense, guys, I really expect you guys to leave this place a bit unsatisfied. I want you guys to think, oh, that was good, that was all right, but I actually would like to know more. So I expect that all of you, after this morning, we'll go back to your places and we'll read the chapter again and we'll start looking at this. And maybe you can ask John to help you to understand more things about the Passover. You can even ask him to preach another sermon on the Passover. Imagine how good would that be. Let's pray, everyone. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Please, Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see, hearts to understand your word. Help us to see your goodness and your love for us. In your name, amen. Have you ever arrived at the airport just to realize that you have forgotten your passport? There are things in life that we just can't afford to forget. Well, today we're going to see what we can't forget. Today we're going to see what the Passover teaches that we should remember. There are two things, at least two things. God gives us a new beginning. He gives us freedom and we have a new identity. But before to start, let's go back to the story of Exodus. So the people in Israel have been living in slavery for about 400 years. God appeared to Moses to announce to him that the slavery was coming to an end. God is going to set Israel free. He's going to do so by displaying his power. So from chapter 4 to chapter 11, we have the account of the plagues. And it finishes with the last plague, the plague of the firstborn son, which is the whole reason for the Passover festivity described in chapters 12 and 13. These two chapters, and in these two chapters, there are several references about commemoration. You should commemorate the Passover. So the first thing why the Israelites have to commemorate the Passover is that the Passover teaches that they have a new beginning. God gives them freedom. Look at verse 2. This month is to be for you the first month of the year. This apparently an important phrase carries a big significance in it. Right from the beginning, we learned that the Passover means a new beginning to Israel, to the point that this month, the month of Aviv, now becomes for them the first month of the year. Israel has been living for centuries under the control of Egypt, under their customs, and even most likely their calendar. But now God is going to completely change all of that. God is going to give them a new beginning. And to celebrate that, God is going to give them now a festivity, the Passover. The Passover is going to commemorate this new beginning. So from verses 12 onwards, we read the instruction for this festivity. The Passover is a meal. But we just need to give a quick read to realize that the Passover is not any meal. The Passover is full of quirky instructions. A lamb roasted with bitter herbs accompanied with bread made without yeast. Now, I'm not that a good cook, but it seems to me that this is not a dish to win MasterChef. The Passover isn't really an elaborate banquet. There is not an abundance of food. They weren't even allowed to have leftovers for lunch. How cruel is that? Some studious people even believe that the reason for the command of not breaking the bones was to highlight that the Passover was not a normal meal. Apparently, breaking the bones was at that time was one of the things that you would do in a normal meal. You would break the bones by chewing them to enjoy the juiciness of the bones. But here, they are not allowed to do this because this wasn't a normal meal. The Passover is not a meal for enjoyment. They weren't even allowed to sit properly. The whole Passover festivity draws a picture of modesty, of plainness. But why? Why to celebrate the beginning of a nation in this way? Well, remembrance. Those elaborate and quirky details are important because as a whole, they function to tell then how and when Israel started as a nation. Not with pride, not winning heroic battles, but in a rush, escaping in the middle of the night. And this is what they need to remember. But why? Well, look at verse 25. When you enter the promised land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. Verse 25 tells us this dynamic. In the future, you look back, you remember. In verse 25, we see that God is going to deliver Israel, but not only that, God is going to give them a promised land, a new land. God is going to completely change the life of the Israelites. For centuries, they lived in a place that they couldn't even call it home. For centuries, they were under the control of Pharaoh. For centuries, they lived to please Pharaoh. But now God is changing completely all of that. And we just lived an event without precedent for our generation, a pandemic. What a crazy time it was. Everyone was in lockdown, borders were closed, travel restrictions, toilet paper shortage. But have you noticed? Have you noticed how the pandemic starts feeling now as a distant reality from us? The more time it goes by, the more we start forgetting how was it like to live during the lockdowns. This actually tells us something about our nature. We forget easily. So the Israelites, without a commemoration, would easily forget what happened in Egypt. After living in the promised land for a while, the idea that they were once slaves wouldn't even come to their minds. Or maybe they would have started making up stories of heroic battles to achieve their freedom. So after God setting them free, God gives them the Passover to help them to remember what really happened in Egypt. This is why the Passover was depicted so carefully, to help the Israelites to remember. Even in verse 26, you read verse 26, it tells us how important the Passover is for the future generations. We can almost hear kids asking their parents, "Daddy, why do we have to eat in hurry? I don't like this bread. Why can't we have leavened bread?" Can you see, friends? The Passover was this perfect teaching tool. With the Passover, the parents would have been able to say something like, "Look, little Benjamin, we need to eat this unleavened bread because it tells us about our time in Egypt. We need to eat it in hurry because we have to be ready to escape at night. We were once slaves, but now we are free because our God delivered us. So don't sit on your bottom and quick eat your lamb." This is why the parents would have been able to tell their kids using the Passover. And with these friends, we can see our loving God. He is helping his people to remember what is important. God is giving the Passover to remind Israel that he gave them freedom, that he gave them this new beginning. And this is the first thing that Israelites have to remember. The second thing that they have to remember is that the Passover gave them a new identity. Now they are people covered by blood. So far we have given a quick look to the Passover, to the descriptions of the Passover, but surely you have noticed that we haven't said anything about an important element, the blood. So the Israelites had to choose a lamb with no defect, then kill it at twilight without breaking any of the bones, and then put the blood on the door frames of their houses. So the blood was, without a doubt, a very important element in the Passover. But why? Look at verses 12 and 13. "On the same night, I will pass through Egypt, and I will strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. And I will bring judgment on all their gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." In these verses, we can see that the Passover was a festivity centered on God's final judgment on Egypt. In fact, this is key to understand the plagues. The plagues were not random acts that God chose to show his power over creation. Neither were a bunch of failing attempts to deliver Israel, but in fact, they were deliberate acts of judgment upon the gods of Egypt. So having this in consideration helps us to understand the plagues. And this actually raises an important question. Why the blood? What about the blood? So let's try to put things together. Right from the beginning in chapter 4, God says that he is going to punish Egypt if they refuse to deliver Israel. And also at the end of chapter 11, God says that he is going to show how he differentiates Israel from the Egyptians. So the idea seems to be quite simple. God is going to punish Egypt and not touch Israel. I don't know if you have had the opportunity to watch the last James Bond movie. It's quite good. This movie talks about how the bad guys develop this perfect little weapon. This perfect weapon is able to target people according to their DNA. That means that the weapon can be released anywhere and it will only affect those the DNA being targeted. Now, does this sound familiar to you with the last plague? Well, look carefully to verse 13. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I extract Egypt. What is the difference between Jews and Egyptians in this verse? Blood. The blood was the sign for the destroyer that the Jews were living in those houses. But does God really need a sign to know where the Israelites live? If anything, the context is telling us otherwise. In the previous plagues, the Lord has already shown that he knows how to distinguish Jews and Egyptians. For example, we read that the whole land of Egypt was in darkness, except Goshen, which were where the Israelites lived. The whole land was covered by frogs, except where the Israelites lived. The whole land was affected by massive hail, except where the Israelites lived. So God, in each and every time, has proven that he knows how to differentiate between Israelites and Egyptians, except here. The Israelites needed blood on the door frames of the houses to show that they were Israelites. What does this tell us about the difference between Jews and Egyptians? Is there any inherent difference between them? No, there is no difference. The difference is blood, but not their blood, not the Jewish blood, but the blood of the sacrifice. And this is vital to understand the Passover in actually the entire Bible. The Passover teaches that there is no difference between people. Remember, the plague of the firstborn son was an act of judgment. So what does it say about the fact that the Israelites needed blood to protect them? Exactly. They would have been judged along with the Egyptians. Here, there is no racism, guys. This is not a genocide, as some have accused the Passover to being that. This is not an act of targeting a specific race, not at all. This is an act of judgment that shows that both Jews and Egyptians deserve to be under God's judgment. But why? Why is bringing such a judgment? Well, we need to read verse 12. In verse 12, God is bringing this judgment upon the gods of Egypt. This verse shows the problem. The problem was idolatry, which is the core of sin. Sin is a problem for the whole humanity. And this problem doesn't have anything to do with race, culture, social status. Sin is just part of us. And sadly, that's part of our nature. Our nature is to worship anything except God. And this is why the Israelites needed blood to protect them. And this highlights personal faith. Because think this for a moment. The Israelites of that time would have had all the reasons to not put blood on the doorframes. They have seen over and over again how God differentiates Israel from Egypt. They heard the words from Moses saying that God is going to deliver Israel from the captivity of Egypt, that God was going to punish Egypt. So really, someone could have just decided to stick with that evidence and to trust on their own blood. But here, the Passover teaches the important lesson. The people of God are those who are covered by the blood of the sacrifice. Again, the people of God are those who are covered by the blood of the sacrifice. This is the new identity the Passover teaches and reminds us of. This is what we can't afford to forget. And this explains our need for Jesus. The Bible introduces Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The author of Hebrews calls Jesus the perfect Lamb without defect. At the Last Supper, which was during the Passover festivity, Jesus, taking the cup, said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant that is shed for you." And even when Jesus was dying on the cross, the Bible is careful enough to tell us that the soldiers didn't break any of his bones to fulfill the prophecy. Can you see what is happening? Over and over again, the Bible describes Jesus, presents Jesus with Passover language, but not any Passover. The ultimate Passover. He is the perfect Lamb. He is the perfect sacrifice. That means that Jesus, it was the Passover was pointing to. That means that the realities we saw this morning about the Passover in the book of Exodus finds their really and true fulfillment in Jesus. Israel was indeed set free from Egypt, but later they were conquered again. The Passover in Exodus didn't provide them lasting freedom. That freedom, that lasting freedom can only be found in Jesus. Now, it is very, very unlikely that we would find someone in our circles who would describe himself or herself as an slave. However, the Bible tells us that the whole humanity is in slavery to sin. The whole humanity is under the control and the dominion of Satan. That means that this message has great significance for the here and the now. People are living in slavery and they don't even realize it. They don't even know it. People are living lives worshiping other gods. They are worshiping and serving themselves as God, as if they were gods. Some people go as far as to use, control, manipulate others as their own slaves. People are living a relentless search for happiness, significance, thinking that if they achieve what they want, their immediate desires, then they will be finally be free and content and have significance. But this search never ends. So they become slaves to their own desires, and their desires are being affected by sin. Does it sound familiar? That means, friends, that you need to be set free. You need to be covered by the blood of Jesus. Not just appear to be covered by it. This is not enough to spend time with the people covered by the blood. It is not enough to come to church or be born in a Christian family holding a baptism certificate. You, my friend, you need to become part of the people of the blood. You need to believe in the message of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you are still under the slavery. You are still in danger. God's act of judgment won't pass over you. You need Jesus. And that's the primary way how we can apply this message to our lives. And for us, for those who have trusted Jesus, the Passover teaches the importance about remembering, the importance of remembering what God has done. We need to keep on being reminded about the cross of Jesus Christ. That was God who saved us. That we didn't deserve it. And we still don't deserve his love, his forgiveness, his loyalty. God treats us purely by grace, and we can't go beyond grace. So remember that. We need to remember that we have a new beginning. We have been set free. That means that we cannot continue living a life of slavery. And this is hard to do. This is hard to do. The sad thing about the story of Exodus is that it didn't take long for the Israelites to start wanting to go back to slavery in Egypt. And we are the same. We also want to go back to the life of slavery. We also want to go back to those same old pattern of behavior, to those same sins we like to do. We like to be the masters of our own destiny, so to speak. But we need to remember that we have been set free, but our freedom was not our achievement. It was Christ's on the cross. So that means that now we need to live lives to please our master. We have a master. We belong to God. He's not a bully one. He's not a sadistic one, but a loving one, a master who wants our ultimately good. So we need to trust him. We need to remember that our lives now are to please God. And how does remembering look like in practice, guys? Well, the Passover was a communal exercise, and it is the same for us. As God's people, we need to be encouraged by coming to church, encourage one another. You need to be part of a church. You need to come. You need to participate of the church. You need to hear God's teaching. You need to listen and sing songs that will help you to remember. What a blessing is to participate in the Lord's Supper. We are remembering Christ. So come to church. And I don't know much about this church. I don't know if you guys are having Bible studies, but if not, maybe you can start thinking about hosting one so you can encourage people and be encouraged by them. Encourage them to remember. We have a big responsibility with the younger generation. How good is to see the kids coming to church? How good is to see there is someone who is spending time teaching them? We have responsibility to the kids. And if anything, the Passover teaches us that we need to be creative. We can't just speak to our heads. We need to engage our senses, engage hearing, tasting, smelling, looking, touching. That was the Passover. So use the senses to remember Christ. That might be something like beer or wine tasting, if that's what you like. An art exhibition, music, that's Handel's Messiah for you. So I'm really looking forward to hearing how Wirunga has been using creativity to help people to remember Christ. Because friends, as terrible it might be to come to the airport and realize that you have forgotten to bring your passport, that's nothing compared to living lives forgetting to remember Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you that you are a loving Father who gave us a new beginning. You gave us freedom. You gave us a new identity. We belong to you. Thank you for Jesus. Please help us to remember. Help my brothers and sisters here, Wirunga, to remember always what you have done for them and how their lives now can be expressing that reality. We pray these things in your name, my Lord Jesus. Amen.